Hello, and welcome to the media ministry of Living Word Church in Roberts, Illinois. Today, Pastor Douglas Lee shares truth from the Word of God that will inspire and motivate you. We pray that as you listen to this message, your ears will be open to hear and your heart to receive all that God has for you. Join us now as we journey together through God's Word.
This morning, I hope you came prepared for the Holy Spirit to do something about you, to do something with you, to do something in you. I want to reiterate that there's a time coming on the earth where people are going to want to draw near to the Lord Jesus. That's what ultimately happens in chaos, is people reach out for order. And when order can't come from people, people tend to change their mind and look to God. I believe there's a great season of changing of minds coming. And it should happen first in the house of God. We need to change our mind and draw near to the Lord Jesus, and we stay out of trouble in the middle of confusion. I hate confusion. Scripture says that in the middle of confusion, there will be every kind of evil work, because strife brings confusion. We're not to be in a life of strife. We have to have some things settled. Jesus is for us. If Jesus is for us, who can be against us? Well, I'm going to tell you, there's a lot against you, but they can't withstand you. If you're in Christ, that scripture doesn't mean there's no enemy. It means that the enemy can't stand up before you. He has to give in to the power of God because Jesus lives in you. Now, we want to make sure Jesus lives big in us. When we say Jesus lives in us, that means His anointing is within. His Spirit is within. His potential is within. But if I'm not bringing that anointing, that Holy Spirit, and that potential out, I'm no threat to the enemy. I want you to be fully aware that you have to rise up to overcome the enemy's attack and the enemy's power. Now, we're in a series, and we're going to stay in a little series a while because we're dealing with some things that are in the world. And if you're not careful, if you're not mindful of what God is doing, you'll be overcome with what's happening in the world. The world's in a mess. It's about to get into a bigger mess. I know that on the news they're talking of hopes of world peace, but Jesus said there ain't going to be any peace. He said it's not ever going to happen. Man will try, and it'll look like for a little while things are better. I've learned when things look better in the natural, there's about to be a storm in the spirit. There's about to be something happen to get people to recognize man does not have the ability to overcome chaos by himself. Only a God of order that set things in right order to begin with can restore order and give us order. And the world isn't going to generate that. Jesus generates that. I'm glad the God of order lives in me. So when I get out of sorts or out of order, He helps me get in right order. Well, 1 Timothy 2:2 says that we're to pray for people in authority. Now, you've got spiritual authority and you've got natural authority. As much as I hope you pray for the president, I hope you pray for your pastor more, to be honest. Why? There's more going to be accomplished in the earth through spiritual authority than there will be natural authority. And I'm not saying I'm not God's man. I'm just one of many that He has speaking for Him. But I ask that you pray, because He says that if we pray for our leaders, we'll have a life, He says, that will be quiet, a quiet and peaceable life, in all godliness and honesty. That means in the middle of the chaos, in the middle of the trouble, we can have a peaceable life in godliness and honesty. That means without godliness and without honesty, we ain't gonna have it. So I'm going to address some godliness, and you're gonna have to address the honesty, because I don't know everything about anybody here. You do know about you. So I ask you to let the Holy Spirit deal with you, and I'll present the godliness part. You know, that's really what the preacher's supposed to do. Say, this is who God is, and this is how we love Him, and this is how He loves us. But in the middle of that loving Him, there's this thing called submitting to His will that we call the Lordship of Jesus Christ. When world gets in bad enough chaos, or people's lives get out of sorts enough, we recognize we need a Savior, and many come to Jesus needing a Savior, but they don't yield to Him to be their Lord. When He becomes your Savior, the chaos is going to increase. It isn't going to decrease. There's going to be a warfare over you. The devil's going to want to take you out when you choose to belong to Jesus. But making Jesus Lord of your life shuts out the other Lord. Jesus is the Lord of light and the Lord of life, and he will shut out the Lord of darkness. Satan is the Lord of darkness. There is a warfare in the earth between light and darkness, and if you're a Christian, you're in the middle. If you're in the world, you're in the dark. But if you're a Christian, you're in the middle, and he says, let light increase. That means we choose how much light we want to walk in. Don't be in the shades of gray in this season. Put yourself over into greater light. I thank the Lord all the time for greater revelation, knowing something. When I ask for greater revelation of Jesus, it's going to cost me something. I'm going to draw near to him, and it's going to cause darkness to go. And I've decided that's a good thing. Now, Matthew 24 is our source scripture for this series. Jesus speaking from New American Standard Version. He said, because lawlessness shall abound. And that lawlessness can come because of ignorance or intention. That means sometimes people just want chaos. They choose chaos. Sometimes people choose darkness. Sometimes even Christians choose sin knowing better. He says that's one kind of lawlessness. The other kind is an ignorant kind of lawlessness, where we wake up and recognize, gee, I've been stupid. I made a bad decision. Or I didn't know the scripture said that. Or I didn't know God thought that way. And we wake up to righteousness not having intended to do wrong. Scripture calls all of that iniquity. In other words, it's something that keeps us separate from something God has. Rather than think of it just separating you from the person of God, recognize it separates you from the blessing of God. So the chaos is meant to keep you out of the blessing, to particularly affect and impact you as a Christian. The devil doesn't have to make the world darker to take hold of or keep hold of lost folks. He makes the world darker to try to cause Christians to choose to hang on to some of the dark. When Jesus is saying he's light, and that light was the life, the Zoe life, the God-centered part of life of man. So we can have as much or as little as we want, but when we have a little bit of light, we have a lot of darkness, and we're going to be in trouble. I want to save you the trouble in the seasons ahead, because scripture indicates what's going to happen as time ticks down, and many today would say, oh, don't preach on end times. Well, the Holy Spirit's saying we better talk about what time it is. Why, we would do better to think Jesus is going to show up tomorrow. I wish I could promise you and say, oh, but he said nobody's going to be able to do that. But wouldn't we live life differently? Wouldn't we throw away the bucket? Wouldn't we kick the bucket out of the way, the bucket list out of the way? If we knew Jesus was coming, we'd have a whole different bucket list. Wouldn't we think differently? Wouldn't we count the time more precious and more valuable? Wouldn't we want to align more for all eternity? If you're feeling a wooing and a drawing back to God somehow, or you're feeling like something's missing in your life, throw out the bucket list, pick up God's list. And a sense of well-being will come, a sense of security will come that the world cannot give you. Because Jesus said lawlessness would abound, or iniquity would abound, or sin would abound, or think of it this way, darkness would abound. Now, he says, the love of many shall wax cold. What does that mean? Many are going to drop away, fall away from full fellowship with Jesus, but they're going to be drawn back in. Why? Because we're going to feel like something's missing. There's nothing worse. I don't know if anybody else has had dreams like this, but you have a dream and there's something missing, something lacking, something you're not prepared for in the dream, and you can't fix it, and you're on the spot. Okay, maybe it is you need clothes and you don't have clothes on. A lot of people dream that kind of dream of inadequacy. Or you're dreaming that you have to get up before people and give a speech and you can't remember where to start. Or you're dreaming that you need to be at a certain place at a certain time for the deal to go down and you're running late and you know you can't fix it. Those are all feelings and senses of inadequacy that we might deal with in life, that we don't have it all together. You should have a sense and a knowing in the timing of God that you do not have it all together. That's how he draws us closer to him. He wants us to know what it is when we're not where we ought to be. So, well, Pastor, can't we ever be where we ought to be? Moment by moment, we can be. But we have to be seeking his face to do that. Now, he goes on to say, when that love waxes cold, he that shall endure all of this going on unto the end shall be saved. What do you mean? I thought everybody would be saved. And he's talking about saved in the rapture from the wrath to come is what he's talking about. That means there will be a lot of folks, in my estimation, by looking at this scripture, that won't be enduring the lawlessness. How do we endure it? It means we overcome its effect on us. You don't give in to lawlessness. You don't give in to the world system. You don't give in to modern culture to get along with it so you can reach people who are in it. You do what the scriptures say to honor Jesus so that you will be above that fray and not in the middle of it. See, many who think they're living in a way that they're kind of spiritually neutral really know on the inside, if they're looking inside, they're in trouble. We're not to be a part of the darkness or the lawlessness. Two ways. By choice. So, well, that's kind of obvious to not choose to sin. But the other one that's equally important is our ignorance. See, I believe that it's important to know what you're being taught. It's important to you're going to become what you're taught in a spiritual sense. That's why teaching is important to you. Many people today rely on teaching when they come to church and they don't become a learner on their own at home. So I try to fill a big void when we come together of presenting enough to whet your appetite to do a little study on your own, to do a little reading on your own, to get a little extra, because this is Sunday's more of a celebration than it is anything else. And if you're having a party, it's hard to impart something great. So we try to mix the two together. It's kind of hard. I ask you when you come together to listen carefully. Today I ask you to not move around. You know, tell your bladder it can hold the break that you think you need. We have too much disruption going on in our services. And the Holy Spirit can't do what he wants to do when we're hopping around. And as I asked the Lord about this, he said, tell them to have more respect for me than they do the screen at the movie house. I said, all right, Lord, I'll say it that way. Because I tend to be real gentle, and sometimes the Lord's not into gentle. He's just direct.
That's right.
So that's direct. Now, I say that because I believe today you're not only just going to hear something, go in your head, think that's nice. The Holy Spirit wants to drop something into your heart to change your life. We're never about just hearing nice things. We're about life change that makes a difference for the kingdom of God. And that causes us to walk in victory. He said, he that shall endure unto the end shall be saved. To endure, it means we abide under authority. And then we bear up courageously. That means Jesus has to be the authority in our life so we can overcome the lawlessness. Otherwise, we will be caught in the lawlessness. I ask you today, examine your heart. Is there intentional sin? Or is there some of ignorance saying, well, every time I hear the word, it makes me think I have to change something. That's what the scripture is supposed to do. Challenge us to be like Jesus, not leave us as we are, but challenge us to trust him to change. The Old Testament word for faith is trust. So it always involves trust when we come to God. We have to trust what he says is true and choose to believe it. Now, lawlessness is dealt with in your spiritual life. It's broken there. It's giving to God spiritually. Things start to change. Many times we want to change our circumstances and change the way we're doing things day to day and think that's going to make things better, when it's really we've got to say, all right, God, I'm going to be spiritually conscious first. I'm going to honor you first. I'm going to put you first. I'm going to make you the first thing I do every week. I'm getting bolder and bolder in saying things like, people that aren't in church aren't honoring the Lord and putting him first. We ask for chaos. I'm going to tell you, the beginning of chaos is not putting God first. It's throughout the scripture. When he doesn't have first place, we are confused. Did you know that? Don't let anything confuse the will of God for your life by putting it before the master. That means those that think work's more important than coming to Sunday morning are wrong. Their life is out of order. They are open for confusion. The lawlessness is upon them. Those that say, well, my family is more important because we're in a crisis, are confused. The answer to the family crisis is putting God first, not putting family before God. And what happens is that wrong spirit that seems right tries to get back on Christians. And if it can, it tries to get in them. And the world is designed to do that to you. The Holy Spirit is designed His work in you to draw you nearer to Jesus. And you will always be giving yourself to one of those masters. I'd be wise as to which one. Now, 2 Corinthians 10:3 says, though we walk in the flesh, or we're here and we've got a body that can feel that, we're living here, we're walking in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. In other words, I'm not going to do battle anyway with just this natural, my natural thinking and my natural way of doing things, or beating my body or cutting my body. There's all these things happening that people do nowadays that's related to spiritual truth. People get into cutting and into bulimia and into all these weird things that people are doing to their body. It's because they're out of control in the spirit. That other spirit, the spirit of the world, is tormenting them. And if they give to the Spirit of God to do a work in them, they'll get free of those other spirits. Did you know that that's what happens when we start falling in love with wrong things and wrong people? We get wrong. We start not being right. And the battle is not in the flesh. We can't fix it in the flesh, is what he's saying. You can't deal with this confusion by having a great ledger and a great order. I'm a planner. I every day have a ledger. I have a notebook. I get up pre-dawn, and these are the things I'm going to get done today if I can, if I have my way. They never all get done anymore. It's been a lot of years since they ever all get done, because I can see a lot more than I can get done on my own. That's the nature of the work of God. It's always bigger than you are. Even in natural things, there's more than I can get done. I don't know anybody else with me. I would say that you mostly are, because it's mostly adults in here. What happens is, if we're not careful, the dictates of this world start to tell us what to do and in what order, when the Holy Spirit wants to tell us what's important in what order. And whenever we don't put Him first, we're giving place to the devil. Well, Pastor, that's against the culture of today. I know, because the culture of today is wrong. You know, God set things in divine order when He started in the garden before Adam and Eve sinned, and we're supposed to move toward that, not toward life afterwards, where things got harder. We're supposed to say things are getting more blessed. Now, He says, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. I wonder why we have weapons. Is it so we can carry a gun and look intimidating? Is it so that spiritually we have something that says we're of authority? Do we wear a badge and a uniform and, you know, spiritually we're walking around like, I am in control? No, I'm going to warn you about your weapon. It sets the enemy off. That you have potential to disrupt his world with the kingdom of God, because it's spiritual weaponry. You begin to use it. You begin to target practice with what God's given you. You begin to speak His word. The enemy says, what are they getting ready to do to me? What are they trying to do? Why? That's the beginning of right order, when you take hold of your spiritual weapons. Say, I'm going to learn what the truth is, and I'm going to say it. I'm going to get in agreement with God's word, even though I have some adjusting to do. I'm going to believe what He says is true, and my life will start moving in that direction. That threatens the kingdom of darkness, because light is increasing. Now, the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. You got some to pull down. You're going to feel the Holy Spirit drawing you nearer to the Lord. You're going to feel more compelled to pray. And someone said, well, I don't know if I want to feel that. You're going to feel that. Why? The Holy Spirit wants you to have every reason to be safe and not be in trouble. The Holy Spirit wants to give you every tool and anointing and ability to keep your family strong. The Holy Spirit wants to give you every word of prayer to put things back in right order that are out of order, because some things came against you and took advantage of you, maybe in your ignorance. Maybe you intended it to be so. Now, The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God. Not mighty without Him. Not mighty with Him being in second place, but being in first place. I say it this way. When He's not in first place, the safety's on. And you're not going to shoot any bullets out of the gun. Because you're not walking in His authority. So when people get outside of God's authority, we don't do things right. Did you know the weapons of your warfare are contingent on honoring the Lord and keeping Him first and loving one another? Jesus commanded that. Now, where do these weapons get developed and grow? It happens at church, for one. Happens in your prayer life, in your study of Scripture, and in your fellowship with believers who are strong, who are trained. If I'm going to go to the shooting range for target practice, I would rather go with people who are better at it than I am, than people who know less than I know. They might think I'm the target, so I'd rather make sure they at least know the basics. I want to maybe make sure that they at least know as much as I do. You need fellowship with somebody stronger than you are. That's why there's a church. To bring people together, because everybody has something to offer somebody else, and everybody has a different kind of strength where God works through your life because of something you've allowed Him to do in your life. And when we bring that together, we become stronger. Some people study a lot. Some people study a little. If I want to know what the Scriptures say, I want the person who studies a lot. Some people pray a lot. Some people pray very little. If I need prayer, I want the one that prays a lot. If I'm hurting and I need help, I'm looking for somebody that values fellowship instead of saying, I don't have time for you. I'm looking for somebody that will have time or have a word of encouragement. The weapons of our warfare are mighty through God. They are not mighty by yourself. They are mighty through God. He manifests through His people. He manifests through His church. He manifests through His word. He manifests in a way that is personal to you every time. If you don't have enough of that going on, your weaponry is not ready. You're not really armed and loaded. And I want to warn you. A word of warning from the Holy Spirit. As the world grows in lawlessness, we have to be better prepared or we'll be a part of the lawlessness. If you're dealing with intentional sin, you say, I don't know why I keep choosing this wrong thing. It's because there's a little too much darkness around you. Break the pattern. The first way is people get in fellowship. The next thing people do when they get in fellowship is they find a committed reason to stay in fellowship. When they find a committed reason or something to do for the Lord and they're serving Him, we look for people who are patient with us, who can help us in that place of fellowship and serving by speaking life and speaking the word and speaking light and not being critical of the dark shadows that are leaving our life, but be excited about the greater light that's coming. I would rather people look at the light coming into me than the shadows that I'm walking away from, wouldn't you? See, that's the attitude we have to have is, Jesus, You've made me a part of the light. I'm not going to be disqualified or disqualify others by the shadows I'm walking out of, but I am going to come into the greater light. The wonderful thing about coming into the greater light is it's warmer and it's better there. The scary thing about it is the greater the light, the more the shadow is cast behind you. Now, for the individual, it means clearly we know this is honoring the Lord and this is not. But for people watching, they said, their life's a mess. Get ready to emerge from the mess of lawlessness. Get ready to come out from among them, Scripture says, and be ye separate. It doesn't mean God does it. It means we choose it. I want to come out of that. Now, the enemy comes with invasion and intimidation, whether you want him to or not. Now, this is an Old Testament story because it illustrates the time that it is spiritually. It illustrates how to overcome lawlessness. God never intended you to do it by yourself. He sent a champion. He sent Jesus to help you in that. But you have to look to Him. You have to allow Him to have His way, have His leadership. But the enemy will bring an invasion into your life. If you've not experienced that, when you become a Christian, you're not done growing. You suddenly realize, I'm in a battle. I better do what it takes to be a fighter, or I'm going to be overcome by the enemy. And I chuckle when I hear new believers say, I thought everything would get easier and better. It got harder. So welcome to the body of Christ. That's proof. That's proof Jesus is living in you, because darkness is coming against you. And in the past, you didn't know anything's coming against you because you belong to it. See, all of a sudden when we don't belong and we're in a new kingdom, we're going to have the other kingdom say, I don't like you anymore. That's what's happening, and that's what happens, and we have to learn to navigate that, or we fall prey to the lawlessness and say, oh, well, I'm not ready for all this. I can't do all this. I don't understand all this scripture. You don't have to understand the spiritual laws for them to be in effect. They're in effect. So what do I decide? Instead of saying, I don't understand, I say, dear Jesus, help me understand this. Help me understand how to be an overcomer. Because we have to overcome something. Now, he says in 1 Samuel, this is the story of Goliath, chapter 17, and I'm summarizing this morning because I hope you know the story. We teach these stories. We're teaching the whole Bible in Sunday school, and you can't get enough on Sunday morning to train your kids or educate yourself. I'm just here to tell you, you won't get enough coming to services. You need to get everything that you can get. Because we learn about God by looking at the whole scripture. Now, this is Old Testament, but Goliath was coming into the land of Judah. God's territory. In fact, we'd say it this way, the part of the territory close to God. Goliath was the giant. Goliath was the man coming, the force coming to challenge the people of God. And he began to intimidate and ridicule them and call out, who do you think you are? And that's what's happening in society. If you don't know it, that's what's happening to you. The reason you feel drawn to come closer to Jesus is because there's somebody else coming into your turf to intimidate you and try to dispossess you and take the blessing of God out of your life. And when we get on the fringes of losing the blessing of God, the Holy Spirit lets us know it. He says, come on in, come on back into the place of safety. But sometimes the enemy gets in our territory. Scripture says he's looking for a foothold or an open door. He's looking for a way to get in. Ignorance can let him in. Sometimes our intention lets him in. That's why we started there with lawlessness. Sometimes we choose sin and it lets the enemy in. But sometimes we choose ignorance, and that is sin that lets the enemy in. I forewarn you, being ignorant of the truth will get you in great trouble in the days ahead. You won't know what's right. People today, many Christians, don't really know right from wrong, light from darkness, because they don't know enough of the truth. That's one reason the Holy Spirit's stirring up teaching gifts worldwide for people to know the truth so that it can set us free. Because without it, there's not going to be freedom. Now, Goliath's name, you would think, here he comes, a burly, ugly, mean giant, that he'd have a really awful meaning to his name, like Terminator, something like that. That wasn't what his name meant. It was splendor. Splendor. Showy, beautiful, amazing, wonderful. So he was had a little bit of Hollywood in him, a little bit of appeal to him. The intimidation was there, but there also was a sense of power. There was a sense of the glory of the world. There was a sense of the greatest man had to offer. There was a sense of enticement. There was an entrancement. When he walked on the scene, people didn't just automatically start shaking. They were shaking and fascinated at the same time. Because somehow Goliath carried a supernatural ability. And know the attack that comes against you is not going to look like Terminator. It's going to look more like splendor. It's going to have a little fascination, a little draw to it, a little enticement to it. It might seem like it'll make life a little bit better, a little more beautiful, or a little more enjoyable. I'd watch out for that. Because the giants that come against the body of Christ have a supernatural element. They're spiritual. Remember, we're in a spiritual battle. He said, not a fleshly battle. So they were coming into a spiritual battle, and Goliath didn't stand over in his territory. His hometown was a few miles away from where this battle takes place. But he crossed over into Judah, making a statement. I am going to take something that belongs to you. Lawlessness is always out to take something earmarked for you. Maybe it will try to take something that already belongs to you. Maybe it'll try to enter into your life and family and bring children away from God. Maybe it'll try to get into the workplace and bring strife so you're miserable. Maybe it'll try to come into your heart so that you step away from the things of God, saying, this is too hard and I want to be loved by people. Falling in love with wrong things and wrong people will cause us to fall out of love with Jesus. He doesn't leave us, but people walk away from him all the time. That's what had happened to Israel. Israel was the bigger picture. Judah represented the heart of God in Israel. Judah was where God wanted to reign, rule, and reign from. Jesus, we know, is the lion of the tribe of Judah. God wants to rule and reign through us from Jesus' place in our lives. And if he doesn't have first place, he cannot be ruler over all. Something else will. And whenever we do that, a Goliath is coming. I want you to not be ready for Goliath. I want you to be able to avoid Goliath. But I can't control that. See, ignorance causes many to encounter him. But I'm going to tell you, once you've overcome one Goliath, you learn, I want to know my business before something else happens to me. If you've ever had a bad experience or thought, man, this should not be happening to me. I'm a Christian. My body shouldn't be going through this. My mind shouldn't be going through this. I shouldn't be dealing with lack. I shouldn't be in so much trouble. I shouldn't have so much rebellion in my own house. Whenever you're dealing with something like that, you want to learn by taking that Goliath out to be ready for the next. Now, this chapter in 1 Samuel 17 is one chapter past David. Young David, early teenage years, David, being anointed to be the next king of Israel. The anointing came and Goliath came. Do you know when you get a hold of the truth here, a Goliath will come to try to keep you from possessing the truth. You can hear it and never own it. That's what Goliath is about. He's not threatened that you hear anything. He's threatened that you take possession of it and say, I'm having that. I'm doing that. I'm going to have a life of victory. He's intimidated when you take action on that because he wants to keep you in inactivity. That's what intimidation is about. So Goliath came in roaring and yelling every day. Send me out a champion, and no champion would come. Everybody looked at, boy, he's big. And he made sure he looked bigger than life. Remember, he's splendor. I'm sure that his armor was polished every night. He had full body armor. He stood in the sun on the top of a precipice, showing how big he was and intimidating everybody. You give any place to the enemy whatsoever, he will look so big to you. The devil's never going to settle for a little place in your life. He wants to dominate you. Now, the giant meets you at a certain place. The name of that place meant the edge of blood. Well, you got to decide something. Whose blood? Because it says there's going to be something lost there. There's going to be something taken away in that place. The edge of blood, it means the beginning of the battle. It means the edge of the sword. It means you're going to have to rise up or you will be taken down by it. I guess one of the things I hate the worst is seeing Christians give in to the enemy and they don't even know they're giving in. So what do we want to do? Rise up and recognize he will always be, the enemy will always be intimidating. He will always be boasting that he's got you. He will play off some weakness that you have. Whether you've made a bad choice or you're in ignorance, he will play off of that. If you're in ignorance, he'll make you feel like you are insignificant. If you've been in sin, he's going to make you feel like the power of God can't work through you. So what do? Fix the ignorance. Fix the iniquity. Say, Jesus, here I am. I want it to be your blood I stand in so it's not mine. And we together are going to take out this Goliath because you've already taken him out. So I want to see that happen in my life. It's not going to be my blood because it was your blood. I'm standing in your place because you stood in my place. When Jesus stood in your place, he made you bigger than Goliath. You carry more splendor than anything the enemy can throw at you. You carry more ability than anything the enemy can do in intimidating you. And when you take a stand under the blood of Jesus, you become bigger than life. And it's high time we do that. Why do we feel drawn back to the Lord? Because He has more for us to walk in than we're walking in. And He, when He made our spirit alive, our spirit on the inside has appetites. And those appetites are the ones that are going to help us be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Then we can take the kind of stand we're supposed to. David was little. He was young. But he was anointed. Nobody in the crowd except the prophet knew he'd been anointed. They didn't know. Why? The prophet obeyed God and said, "You're going to be the next king." And David said, "I don't want to be. I'm not ready. I'm a shepherd." He said, "Go ahead and be a shepherd." Then the shepherd got called by his natural dad, "Go take food to your brothers. They're in a battle." And he got the food ready, thinking, "This is cool. I can see what the big guys are doing." And he got there, and he was God's anointed big guy. See, the anointing will cause you to rise up above natural life and skip some things if you listen to it. The anointing of God is out to make you a champion as quickly as He can, to give you the splendor of being in a walk and a relationship with God, to not have to be trapped in everyday things. Did you know that's what a more abundant life means? Take you from where you are and move you into what He designed you to do, and there's always going to be a Goliath between you and your natural life and God and your spiritual life. And you're going to overcome not one Goliath. It's a continual battle. Why? This world wants to look more splendiferous than the things of God. Train your eyes right, and you can truly see what's going on. Now, the enemy came in with full armor and weapons of destruction. He came in taunting and intimidating, like I said, but he will come on your territory. He's not waiting for you to come after him. You never need go after the devil. He has nothing you want or need. You have everything he wants. You don't have to think, "Oh, well, I'm going to go do battle, do spiritual battle." No, the battle is always going to come to you. You're not going to go to it. You don't need to challenge darkness. Darkness is going to challenge you. And you're going to have to remember who you are and say, "I am the light here. Back off. Back down. I am in the blood of Jesus, and you're not going to take one drop of mine. You're not going to take any kind of life from me, natural or spiritual." Now, you have a territory. Your territory doesn't only comprise your family and your job and your house and your car and your stuff. Your territory is much far reaching than the little things of this world that have got your attention. Your territory is what God meant for you to do for Him. What God has anointed you to rule and reign over for Him, not to rule and reign over for you. See, when we get thinking that His power is so that we can have this wonderful life, it's not just about having a wonderful life. It's about serving the Master so He can give us the wonderful life. And when we get it backwards and we're out of order, we think somehow when God blesses me, I'll do more for Him. Those would be the people that do the least for the Lord. What do we have to do? We have to embrace Him first and say, "Lord, it's your agenda." Now, there's an intended outcome that Goliath has. To make you a slave. All right. He got up and he stood before all of Judah, the warriors, the warrior class, the ones that had been trained, the ones that should have been taking him out, and said, "I'll make a deal with you." The devil always likes to make a deal. Why? When you compromise to make a deal with him, you'll lose the deal. Except for the power of God coming into you. And David heard the deal go down. "Send me a champion." Goliath didn't ask for a wimp. Goliath asked, "Go ahead and send me your best. Give me your best shot." Did you know with the anointing, you're God's best shot? You're His guarantee, really, of the victory. But the devil will always make you feel small by intimidating you with the last thing that you did foolishly. Or that you're not trained or you're not ready. Or that you've been walking in sin and you've not fixed it yet. The devil will always try to disqualify you, but Jesus' blood qualified you. You make it right quick by saying, "I put myself under the blood. Jesus, you're not only my Savior, you're my Lord. What's up with this? What do I do? How do I encounter that? I'm not going to be intimidated, and I'm not going to compromise. I'm not going to give in and meet somewhere in the middle between light and darkness and create this gray zone I call grace. I'm going to walk in light, and God, you're going to release your power to deliver me from trouble." There's a tactic. The devil will call you out, and he'll call you out as a champion of God by intimidating you. Do you really think you've got what it takes? No, I've got who it takes. See, that's the difference. You'll never have what it takes, but you have Jesus, and that's who it takes. And that changes the nature of what the edge of blood's going to be. You say, I bring Jesus' blood to the forefront. It ain't going to be mine. And Jesus' blood overcame the enemy already, and he has to leave in defeat. It's just a matter of time, see. Now, you have potential in this. Your potential is having victory with God. I've seen through the years people come and go in and out of fellowship and living for Jesus and not living for Jesus. And I always think to myself, what is up with that? And I've learned what is up with that. We get to choose victory or we will be taken down in defeat. Victory is a choice we continually make by seeing ourselves as God's champion, by understanding when we are anointed to do something for him that results in ruling and reigning for us. David was anointed king, but he was not the active king for a long time. But he took out Goliath. Why? He said, I have had enough of this. This confusion, this chaos, this humiliation to God's church. And he rose up and he said, there is an anointing, there is a greater one in me. If I can kill a lion and I can kill a bear, I can deal with that big mouth. Why? He just decided, you know, this is just the natural progression. So now it's a big guy instead of a big animal. The big guy might be a little more vulnerable, and he looked for a vulnerable spot and it was right there. Don't you know that if he had aimed half-heartedly, he might have been shaking. I don't know. I don't know how much the anointing was working and how much fear was working. But he did what God said to do, and the stone went where it needed to go. Whether the angels redirected it or not, I don't know. I don't care. I just know it took out Goliath. And you need to be the same way in knowing he will make up where your weakness is. He will make up if your aim is off. He will take out the enemy for you because Jesus has already done it. The arrow will straighten out. The stone will straighten out. The cannonball will land where it needs to. Whatever the weapon of your warfare is that you're dealing with, it's mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. He will do his part, but we have to do our part. Let it fly into the face of the enemy. Now, 1 Corinthians 2:5 says, your faith should stand in not in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. The power of God. Now, you can arm yourself, and you can engage the enemy. I want you to leave here doing some battle for yourself because I can't do the battle for you. I lead in some spiritual battles like David did in this picture. I get up and say, Lord, what is it you want to say to your people that'll inspire us to be motivated enough to do your word? How sad, we got to be motivated. What should we be? We should rather see the revelation of truth and go, I'm doing that. I'm doing that because revelation took out the giant. Knowing who God was, knowing who David knew, Jesus in him or God in him, God had anointed him to do something. And it was premature, really. He wasn't going to rule and reign as king for many years to come, but he said, I've already been anointed to do this. So if the enemy is taking unfair advantage of God's people, I will step out with an unfair advantage over him because I've been anointed. And whenever the enemy comes at you with a surprise attack to mess with you, you can say, no, I've already been anointed and you cannot overcome me. I may be young in this or new to this and not know everything I'm to do with this, but I'm going to step out and I'm going to take you out because this will be about your blood. It will not be about mine. You see, we don't have to be fully mature. We have to know what it takes to take out the giant. Intimidate him back. But you don't do that in your own strength and say, I'm somebody. You don't even do it, I'm anointed. Because he's going to say, with what? He wants to know, what kind of power? Is it aggravation power? Is it determination power? Or is it Jesus' blood power? See, there's a difference. Now, Ephesians 6, this is a paraphrase, verses 10 through 18, says, brothers, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God so you don't have vulnerability, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. What did he do? He stood up against him. And he said, I'm not going to put up with what you're trying to do to my nation. Why? He knew he was going to be king over it. Do you think he wanted to be a king in exile? See, that's what many Christians have settled for. They're made to rule and reign and anointed to rule and reign because they've given in to a Goliath and they've been taken captive. And what happens is we take off our crown. We don't overcome because we have to put on the crown of Christ to overcome the enemy, or he will overpower and overtake us. Remember, he's a supernatural creature. He's a spirit being. There's things that he knows he can get away with because he understands where true power and authority comes from. Now, God's armor is tailored to fit you. David tried on Saul's armor. The king's armor didn't suit him, if he even tried it on. I think he really looked at it and said, that is not for me. Because it was great big. And he was not big enough to fill that natural armor. In one sense, you think, well, he ought to have been really intimidated then. No, it was a wonderful thing that he could not fit into man's way of doing battle. Because he had no choice but to fit into God's way, which is to pull out what he was used to, what he had on his person, what he did in everyday life, how he overcame the lion and the bear. And he said, I'm going to do it the same way, because he knew it was the Spirit of God on the slingshot that took the enemy out. The Spirit of God has something more to do with it. And he just did something. He said, I'm going to trust the Lord again. And I'm sure he looked around and thought, why did anybody else trust in him? You've got to determine to be the first if you want to rule and reign. Now he said, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. What are his wiles? Intimidation. What are his wiles? To try to condemn you right up front. He basically told all of Judah, you're going to be my slaves anyway, just give in. And they didn't give in. But they couldn't send a champion either. Did you know you are anointed to overcome everything that pertains to you that the enemy's trying to do? You're the champion. You're the champion of your house. You're the champion of your life. You're a champion in God's church. You're a champion in this generation. Many have the ability, have the crown in their hands, but they never put it on their head. Because we have to say, I'm going to think differently. I'm going to think dominion. I'm going to think power. And that means when I put the crown on, I've got some weaponry to wield. I've got some things to do. I'm not going to live vulnerable to the devil. I'm not going to give him an open door by my ignorance or by my sin choices. I'm not going to be ignorant and I'm not going to sin. God, help me learn what I need to learn to overcome the wicked one. And whenever a Goliath comes roaring into your life, there's something God meant to impart to you that you would not hear and you would not listen. Or there's a sin he asked you to step away from and you didn't do it. It is not too late, but you have come to the place of the edge of blood where he's saying, whose will it be? Because you are a threat to the enemy even when crown is in hand, because he knows of your potential. He said, wherefore, take unto yourself the whole armor of God. He's warning us not to live halfway for Jesus, but to take it all on. The halfway place is pretty vulnerable. The more of the armor you put on, the more of the weapons you take up, the less vulnerable you're going to be. And if you're just learning, then get around people in the full array. Get around people that are suited up. I'd get around the people that are suited up that have some spiritual muscle. Why, it'll show through the armor. They've got a determination. When the enemy boasts, they step out there. Say, let's take him out. Instead of shrinking back, say, what are we going to do? What are we going to do? Find somebody that can reveal to you the character of Christ Jesus as it is. And stay close. And if they're flexing, flex. Why? The enemy doesn't know for sure what's under there. He just sees a little rippling and a little shaking. Wherefore, take unto yourself, do it yourself. You've got to do it yourself. The whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand. In other words, you're going to have some attack come meant to take you out. The whole armor of God on you is going to cause the character of God in you to have something to do. Now, he goes on to talk about that armor, and this is brief. He says, stand therefore, having truth, righteousness, and peace. He starts out with those three. Why? Those are character things. I choose to embrace the truth instead of walking in darkness. I choose to have God's peace even in the middle of chaos. I choose Jesus' righteousness, and I'm going to be like him instead of taking liberty like the world. That's character. Did you know what's inside the armor has to come first before the armor on the outside has any intimidation factor? Because the anointing comes from within. It does not come from what you put on. It comes with who lives in you. And Jesus is the character of the Heavenly Father. He is the character of an overcomer. And when you get that character first, you become more holy like Jesus, and all of a sudden you feel different. And you are not intimidated anymore. The last thing that you gave into from the enemy is cleansed from you by Jesus' righteousness, and you say, there is no wicked way in me. There's no way I can lose this battle. Let's put on the rest of the gear and go to it. And you have to get the first part, or the second part doesn't count for much. It'll put a little flash when the sun shines on it, but it ain't going to take out the enemy unless the character's there with it. What's that character look like? The determination to say, ain't going to be my blood today. Oh no. Now, says, do this, therefore, and then he says, put on the truth of righteousness, then the peace, the shield of faith. He goes from character to weaponry, the shield of faith. Did you know your character is more important than your shield? He put these in an order so we would understand at what order to do things. You try to operate in faith, walking in sin, you're going to find that you're very vulnerable. Because you're not going to have faith on you, God in you, on the inside of you to win the battle. You're going to recognize, uh-oh, I put myself out there too much. I'm not really living for Him. Let me get the character issue straight first. Then let me put on the weapons of warfare. That's why so many walking in sin separate themselves from the Lord and get out of fellowship. They know they're not fit for battle. So they'd rather blend into the world and not seem like a threat to the enemy than be a threat to the enemy and outside the church. So we have to decide, how do we want to walk? I'm going to encourage you that many who think they're in fellowship with the Lord are on the fringes or on the outskirts, not really walking with Him, because the truth is the character of God will be in us, and we learn to deal with faith. We learn to deal with the sword of the Spirit. We learn to deal with the Word. We learn all those things, and we learn how to use those weapons. But without the character, we're going to lose, even if we're trying to learn how to handle the weapons. The weapons are powered by the character of God working in you. You'll know what to do with the scripture if the character of Jesus is in you. Otherwise, you might turn the sword against a brother. Say, well, they ought to be doing right and they're not doing right. I think I'll whack off their ear and get their attention. They need to not come against me. I'm going to show them I know the truth so they can be set free. Wrong battle. You're going to be chopping off somebody's ear and the enemy's going to be taking you by the heart. See, Jesus commanded us to love Him and put Him first and then love one another. There's a reason He did that. It requires the character of God to work in us so we can win. He goes on to say, the shield of faith, the headgear of salvation. What does it mean? Put on that crown that says, Jesus saved me. I'm not a creature of darkness. I'm a creature of the light. And I'm going to renew my mind to that. I'm not going to lose, even though I just experienced the cold shadow going over me. I'm going to rise up and be the light. Let me straighten this thing out here and remember who I am in Christ. So put the headgear on. And then what was left? The Word. The sword of the Spirit. See, I hear a lot of Christians quoting the Word, but where's the character? The character causes the spiritual anointing to come. The character of Jesus causes His Spirit to have a flow in your life. Where out of you shall flow rivers of living water. There's not going to be much of a river. They may not be a creek or a stream. There might not even be a bubbling up, because if the character isn't there, the Spirit can't flow forth out of you. The character of Jesus makes a way for the anointing of God and the power of God to flow up out of you, up through the armor, out into the atmosphere to deal with whatever needs to be done. Dealt with, not just for you, but for everybody around you. David caused the whole victory to come to all of them because he did the one thing that he was supposed to do. And it really could have been anybody there rise up and do something, but they all waited. Thank God, God anointed somebody. Did you know He anointed you? See, we're the anointed ones. We're about done, but I don't want to leave out verse 18. He said, praying always. You might think, well, what am I going to do? How am I going to get fixed? Start praying. Start praying. And he said, praying always. What does that mean? If you've been freed from one Goliath, another one's coming. I see many people get caught off guard and say, how did the enemy get in there? Ignorance. If you're not choosing sin, to not know how to do battle is going to get you in trouble. The ignorance of not taking on our weapons of warfare. The greater ignorance of not taking on the character of Christ. So many today are caught up in the world because they have not focused first on becoming like Jesus' person. Walking in His righteousness. Walking in the truth. Determining, I'm going to honor Him. I'm going to put Him first. I'm going to do what's right by the Master. Instead, they want to skip over that and say, maybe when He saved me, all these weapons went into play. You were issued the weapons, all right. But you better have the character. What is that? The discipline. To want to be like Jesus. And to recognize when we're not. And cry out and say, I know in this area I'm weak. But I'm not giving up. I'm not stopping. I embrace your character and you're going to change me. You're going to work in me both to will and do your good pleasure. And you want me to be like Jesus. Did you know that's why the Father called you the brethren? He said Jesus was the firstborn of many brethren. That means we're supposed to be like Him if we're in the family. Now, it takes that character on the inside to empower the weapons on the outside. That's why many people don't pray. If you don't have the character, you won't be compelled to pray. The Holy Spirit will be dealing with you to get the character. But when the character of God comes, you recognize the conflict with what's going on around you. You recognize darkness when it comes instead of saying, oh, I've got to love them. You can love them and still embrace the character of Jesus. And when you do, it causes the darkness to be exposed by the light. Did you know that's what true love looks like? That's what Jesus did on the cross. He said, I'm going to give them ultimate love to take care of this darkness thing once and for all. All they have to do is choose which place do they want to walk in and give themselves to. After Goliath, David had problems. He wasn't perfect. I appreciate that was said earlier. I don't think you even knew how that was going to connect to this, but God doesn't ask you to be perfect. He asks you to be anointed. To be anointed, He asks you to embrace the character of Jesus. And you will have your struggles in it as David did. You know, he was anointed before Goliath came. He took out Goliath and yet more giants came against him. And he didn't win every battle with every giant that came. Some of them were just women. What were the women to David? Another Goliath coming. What did David maybe lack? He maybe didn't develop character enough in that area because he stood on the rooftop watching out for Bathsheba, taking a bath. I think it's interesting. She's taking a bath and it was Bathsheba. Easy to remember. Watching her bathe. Why would he do that? A Goliath was coming in the form of falling in love with the wrong person. Later he would fall in love with wrong things and it would cost him. Recognize you will continue to do battle. And when you don't do battle, somebody else will win. So you have to do the battle. The character battle is to come before this anointed thing. What I believe that David lacked, perhaps, is character wasn't developed in him enough when the anointing came. Don't think that the anointing is enough for you to overcome sin. Overcoming sin or overcoming ignorance is a discipline we choose to honor the Master. Then the anointing grows, you see.
We pray that today you were challenged to move closer to God and encouraged with the depth of His love for you. If you would like to know more or hear additional messages, please call us at 217-395-2231. You can also write to us at Living Word Church, P.O. Box 158, Roberts, Illinois, 60962. Or visit our website at gotolwc.org. And as always, we would love to have you join us on Sundays at 10 a.m. And now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May He make His face to shine upon you and give you peace.